How are you all doing today? Good. It's good to be with you. Thank you for the water. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's really good to be with you all. I know I don't probably look familiar to most of you. There are many out here I do recognize that I've met, whether you coming down to Watsonville, which is where we live. We're part of the Freedom Teams down there. Or perhaps I've been up here for CMS, or a workers' conference. So I've met some of you. For the rest of you that I haven't, maybe we will meet eventually. So it's really nice to be with all of you. Wanted to say, before we get too far, thank you for having us today. It's really great for our family to be with all of you. Praise God, the drive was only an hour and 17 minutes as opposed to like two or three, which I've hit before coming up this way for reasons. And it was a nice drive. Thank you to the sound group back there, the AV group. I didn't know if my slides were going to work today, but somehow they miraculously got it to go. So thank you guys. And also, thank you forever put this together. I know I emailed someone in here, and I don't know if you're here right now. There you are. You did an excellent job, and this is probably on me, most likely, but my wife is Christina, not Patty. Yes, that is probably on me. I'm really bad at communication, so I probably said Patty somehow or spell-checked it wrong, but this is very kind of you guys to welcome us this way. So let me pray, and then we'll begin. Father, we want to thank you so much for being a faithful God, as we have up on the screen. You have been faithful in our lives, and I can say in my family's life, I know your faithfulness. In Fairhaven's life, I've seen you in the people I've known. I've seen the faithfulness of you throughout their history. And specifically in some lives here that I do know, I've seen your faithfulness. And we just want to say we believe that you are a faithful God. We see it in Scripture. We see it in our lives. We see it in lives of others that we admire and admire from the past. And we want to praise you that that is who you are. Father, this morning we remembered that you love us and care about us and accept us based on the beautiful love of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And we're so thankful it's dependent upon you and not us. Your faithfulness is dependent upon you. So we praise you and we pray for your help now as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning I have 3 points that I'm going to share with you all. And it's going to kind of be a sermonette followed by a little bit of who we are and how the Lord brought my family to Watsonville and a little bit of the work that's going on in Watsonville. So I hope you're ready to see a lot of pictures because that's going to happen today in a moment. But turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 first, and we're going to look at just 3 points from the life of Elijah. Before I came yesterday, I watched a few of your videos, just like quick intros on people who had spoken to see how you guys dress, because we dress a little differently down there. So I was making sure I was good to go, and I saw everyone got a glass of water. I was like, oh, that's exciting. I'm going to get some water when I come up. So 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at 3 points, and the first one I'll put up here on the screen. Don't stop standing in his presence. And we'll see this in the life of Elijah in verses 1 through 2. Let's just read those verses, 1 Kings 17, 1 through 2. Now Elijah the Tishbite, and I'm in the CSB version. Elijah the Tishbite from the Gilead settlers said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, in whose presence I stand, there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command." Now, Elijah jumps off the pages of scriptures from nowhere. I'm assuming most of you would know the story of Elijah. But he kind of appears out of nowhere. And we don't know a lot about him, but we do know some things about his background based on what we have here. A Tishbite from the Gilead settlers tells us a lot about who Elijah most likely was. And he was kind of known for that time, would have been kind of like a guy from the backwoods. Or as in the Midwest, we would say a hillbilly or a redneck. Or my dad, who was born in Louisiana, his dad was like full-blooded Cajun. And so they would have called him like a Cajun, a bayou man. And so Elijah was not from a prominent, wealthy, well-known family. He was kind of a nobody. And maybe he was good with his hands. But, you know, I first of all want to say there's a lot of encouragement in that because I can relate with old Elijah. I feel like sometimes I'm just a little bit of a nobody. I don't have a lot to offer in my skills and my abilities. But we look at the story of Elijah, and if you know it at all, God uses a man in an amazing way for God's purposes and for God's glory. And we can see why, and that's found very quickly in these verses. When he goes to Ahab, a king who is not a very good king, who is married to a very wicked woman, who is promoting worship of idols of all kinds of different gods, and he's wanting the people of Israel to follow his ways, not God's ways, this King Ahab. And Elijah is sent by God to go to Ahab and stand in his presence and say, hey, guess what? This land is about to hit a drought based on God's word, and I'm telling you about that. Now, that would take a lot of guts to do that with anybody in power, to say, hey, something bad's about to happen. But Elijah does it with confidence, and he does it in the way that God had commanded. Why? It says it right here. Because he goes to him and he says, first of all, as the Lord God of Israel lives. That's very key. He's speaking on behalf of a God who is alive to a king who is worshiping gods who are not alive. He's saying, my God's alive, and guess what? I stand in his presence. I'm someone who is in the presence of God. And based on that, I can tell you something that God has told me to tell you. And that's that there is going to be a drought on this land. And I want to encourage us with this simple point today. It doesn't matter who you are, because remember, again, Elijah is a guy from the backwoods, a nobody, probably a farmer, probably working with his hands, didn't have a lot to offer most likely, yet God takes this man who he brought to learn to stand in the presence of God, and he gave him something great to do because he was a man that was with God. And so I want to encourage everyone sitting here, it doesn't matter your background or who you are or what you've done or what you haven't done. What matters is, are you in the presence of God in your life? It's so important that we stand in the presence of God. Maybe that looks like kneeling in the presence of God for some of you, or praying in the shower, or going on a walk. There's a lot of people in Watsonville that love to go and walk and talk with God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is that you are in God's presence. Elijah was. And because of that, God was able to use Elijah in a great way. Well, then look at verse 2. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide at the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. You are to drink from the Wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Well, look at this next point. It says, trust God with every season of life. It's very interesting that right after this pretty amazing thing that Elijah does for God, going and standing in the presence of the king and saying, hey, there's not going to be any rain on this land or dew because of the sin, and God is bringing judgment, that God would say, it's time for you to go hide somewhere. Now, it's interesting, this wadi is a place that kind of the rains come down on the land and they enter through these wadis into the Jordan River. And they're rocky, kind of not pleasant places, at least this is my understanding. I've never been in a wadi. I have been over to Israel, but I don't think I ever saw or entered a wadi that I know of. But my understanding is they're not pleasant places to go and pitch a tent and camp out for a while, especially when there's a drought coming, because they will dry up and there won't be any water. But God says, I want you to go hide here. And Cherith actually means cutting place, or a place of cutting. Well, you could probably think in a wadi where there's lots of rocks and thorns and bushes that maybe physically it could be a cutting place, but I think God had something more in mind for Elijah spiritually. He had a preparation for Elijah that would be needed for what was about to come when he would go and stand and on behalf of God have this fight against the gods of Baal and the prophets of Baal. And God was preparing him for something that was very important in life. It wasn't probably a pleasant time. He was alone. But look at what it says. He says, God has said, I commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Well, ravens are unclean. In Leviticus chapter 11, it actually says that the ravens are on the unclean list of birds. You're not supposed to eat them, let alone anything that they touch and bring to you. Probably not supposed to be eating that. But God says, guess what? I'm going to provide for you, the Holy God, in a way that I see best for you. to learn what you need to learn in your life. And that was, have faith in me. Trust me. I can do it any way I want. And here God is providing for Elijah in a very unique place, in a very unique way. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know most of you in here. And I don't know what season of life that you might be in right now. Maybe for some of you, it's really going great. Maybe married recently, or a new child, or I have a new job. I have no idea. Maybe great life going on right now. But for some, maybe you're going through some really difficult times. Discouragement. Maybe a little depressed. Maybe not even wanting to come to church today. Kind of drug yourself in. I have no idea what you might be going through. But if Elijah was to be able to stand here physically with us today, I think he would stand right by me and say, hey, you can trust God with every season of life, because I've been there. And so God tells Elijah, I want you to do something because I'm preparing you. Well, God may be preparing you for something, or maybe he's changing your life to get you ready for what's ahead. You know, before my family moved to California, I was the director of a Bible camp at Turkey Hill, and before that, my dad was the director. No real reason behind that. It just happened that way. But there was a season where I felt I was in this dry place of life, and God had to use that to prepare me to be the director and then to prepare me to be where we're at now in our life. It wasn't a fun season. I don't want to live through it again. But it was the preparation for what was to come. So, whatever season you're in right now in life, trust God with it. And trust his ways. We don't want to be fed by ravens. Not one person in here would like water and fed by ravens, I don't think. But that's how God chose to love and care for a servant of his. Because he wanted him to grow in his faith. Now, we know some of the other story of Elijah is that God says it's time to get up after it dried, the water dried out. He says, guess what? It's time for you to get up and go. I'm going to have you go to the widow of Zarephath, which is in a town where Jezebel was very prevalent and not exciting for Elijah, I'm sure, but God had been growing his faith step by step. And we're skipping ahead through a lot of it, but then God prepares him to do what he's about to do. He has him go to the widow of Zarephath. God provides miraculously flour and oil for her, like this endless supply as long as needed for that time. And then her son dies. Elijah's used to raise her son to life. And then we get to the big battle on Mount Carmel, where God defeats the prophets of Baal in this great victory, where the fire comes down from heaven, burns up everything, including the rocks and the water, which is, I have never seen that, but pretty amazing things happen. And then we come to chapter 19, and in chapter 19, we see something very interesting. Chapter 19, we'll start in verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow. So Jezebel sends to Elijah a little note. Imagine receiving a text message. Hey, guess what? I'm about to kill you. This is what's happening to Elijah. I am coming for you. And Elijah knows she's not kidding because she has killed a lot of God's people already for obeying God. So what does he do? Well, verse 3, Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. Now, I was looking over this again yesterday, and it kind of changed my perspective a little bit, but I've shared this thought before, and as I look at the life of Elijah, I'm like, are you kidding me, Elijah? You just saw God do some pretty amazing things. Why would you be afraid and run for your life? What would change in Elijah's being or his self or his thinking that would cause him to see this powerful God and then all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to kill you, and he runs? Well, I'll tell you what happens. It's fight or flight type response. This guy is afraid. He's like being threatened with his life. His immediate response is, I've got to get out of here. So I don't initially just like fault Elijah, say, man, he failed. But what I want to encourage us today is, doesn't matter what comes tomorrow, don't stop believing what God has done in your life already. You see, Elijah had seen God do some great things. It began with him being called to go and do something. a man who wasn't known by any that we know of, is called to go and speak to the king of Ahab and give this bad report to him. A man is then used to go to a widow of Zarephath and say, hey, God's going to miraculously provide for you and for me. Oh, and by the way, I'm here to live with you for a while. And then her son dies, and God says, I'm going to use you to raise this son. And the boy comes back to life. Again and again, Elijah sees, at least from what we see in Scripture, amazing miracles and promises of God fulfilled. And then Mount Carmel, most amazing one of all, it would seem. And yet here, Elijah is afraid. Well, I want to encourage every one of you, wherever you're at in your life today, don't stop believing God to do the impossible. My family has been in full-time work since 2008. And I remember when my wife and I were first sent out by our church in Lawrence, Kansas, as one of them, and Fenton Crossing in St. Louis, we didn't know where we would get any money. We weren't asking people for money. She was a nurse, and I was a loan consultant at a bank, and all of a sudden that income just disappeared overnight, and we were going to work at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp, and I didn't know how God was going to provide. All of a sudden, the Lord provided. And you know what? That was just about $2,000 a month that we needed. And then God takes us and moves us to this beautiful state of California, and that income goes up a lot. And I'm like, Lord, how is that going to happen? You know what I would do? I would get terrified when rent was due. I would get terrified when the money wasn't there, as if God wasn't going to take care of my need. He had never failed me, and he had called me to the life I was living, and I could trust him with the life I was in that moment. So if that's the case, if God had called me, then I could trust him to provide how he was going to provide. And if that's ravens bringing me food to my doorstep, then so be it. I hope not, but if that's how, then we'll trust God. You see, God has never failed my family, but to this day, I still tend to be afraid sometimes as well. Just like Elijah, afraid, well, what's going to happen in this moment? Well, I want to encourage you, don't stop believing God. You see, Elijah then hears God's tender, caring, loving, shepherding voice to him, basically saying, guess what, Elijah? I am right here with you. I always have been, and I always will be. So, an encouragement and a reminder for you today, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever you faced, whatever's ahead, stand in God's presence. Trust him with the season of life you're in, and don't stop believing him. He is faithful. He has always been faithful. So this is a little bit of Elijah's life. Now I just want to share with you a little bit of God's faithfulness in our lives. So we'll get back to those points at the very end as a refresher, a reminder of what we talked about, because that's really the heart of what's important today is God being there for us. But I want to share with you in our lives and in our work in California how God has been faithful. And I really hope and have been praying that this will be an encouragement for all of you here. Let me just begin by saying, first of all, I know that you as a church gave a lot to our team down there to help with our building. And we want to say thank you so much for that. That was a huge encouragement, and it's been a massive blessing in our lives down there as a team just to have seen God be so good in that way with people local, right on our back doorsteps, caring for us and supporting us. So we really praise the Lord and thank the Lord for you. Actually, I just gave a message a couple weeks ago in Philippians on the reasons for joy, and one of the reasons Paul was saying be joyful is because of partnerships in the gospel, and Fairhaven came up, partnerships in the gospel. So you are a reason of joy in Watsonville. Quite often. So faithfulness in our family's lives. Well, my wife and I, Patty and I moved, Christina, sorry, which by the way, it's our 20th anniversary next week, so hopefully I remember to call her Christina and not Patty on that day. But I've actually never called her Patty before, but anyway, Christina and I moved to Turkey Hill 20 years ago, or not 20 years ago, 2008, we moved there. Thank you. I was a little nervous about telling these stories because I never get the details right, so you might hear my wife every once in a while. So we moved there in 2008. Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp is one of the largest camps in the Midwest, Bible camps there, and we'd been involved in that for a while. My dad was the director. They brought me on as the assistant director, and that's what I was until the last couple years there when I became the director. But we were joyful to be there. These are our kids around 2017-ish, 18 when we moved here. I'm not sure why Lincoln's crying. He and I were trying to figure that out, but he doesn't look super happy. He's the one I'm holding. But yeah, the Lord was, we love Turkey Hill. It was a great place to be. There's a lot that we miss about it. We're actually about to head on furlough next week on Wednesday, a sabbatical furlough for till the beginning of January, and Turkey Hill's where we'll spend some of our time there. So my family's still there. I have my mom. My dad passed away a few years ago. My mom's there. I have a brother and his wife and a sister and her husband who are also part of the camp there. It just happened. It's not some kind of weird family thing. It's just what happened there. So anyway, this is we had been praying for a while. This is a very long story, but I'm going to shorten it extremely short today. My wife and I had been at the camp for some time, and we had been praying for some time about what the Lord would have for us. We never felt Turkey Hill was like our ultimate destination of in the journey with God. We felt that He was going to move us on to something at some point. But there were specific things we were praying about. One is Turkey Hill's 30 minutes from our church in Jeff City. And we really wanted to be able to walk outdoors and say hello to people and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing up, Jim Elliot was a big hero of mine. I had a little picture hung on my wall instead of Michael Jordan back in the days. My wife was born in Ecuador on the mission field. Her parents were missionaries there in Quito and around that area. And so we both loved the Hispanic culture. And we both wanted to be missionaries. So she became a nurse, and I actually got an international business degree and somehow ended up in banking. But we both wanted to be on the mission field. So we got to Turkey Hill, and we're like, well, this is our mission field. And we had been praying, Lord, if you ever have something else for us, we're open. And around that time, I'd begin praying with multiple brothers about new works across the United States. Scott was one of those, and Scott DeGroff, who's in Freedom. And we'd been praying regularly about every week about new works across America, and began then praying for Scott and Lynn because they felt the Lord was leading them away from the work they were in to something else. And my wife and I kind of felt this stirring within us, and around that time, the Lord had radically changed my life in a way that maybe one day I can tell you guys, but not today. But I began to just really spend a lot of time in prayer. And during those times of prayer, the Lord was moving my heart to be a part of something. And it seemed that that was becoming knit with Scott and Lynn. My wife and I was Scott and Lynn at the time. And anyway, then along comes Dan and Cindy Williams, who you guys had have met, I'm sure, many of you. And they then became a part of the Prayer for Freedom teams. And then the Lord moved Scott and Lynn and Dan and Cindy out to Freedom, California, or Watsonville is where we're actually located. We were praying for that area, and God's put us in the heart of Watsonville, which we are very, very, very thankful for. So my wife and I began praying and asking the Lord, do you want us to be a part of this work? And again, another long, fun story, which I wish I could share the whole thing. The Lord really wonderfully, miraculously directed my wife and I through scripture, through prayer, and through multiple things that He wanted us to be a part of the work in California. One of those was really cool. It was my oldest son, CJ, who's not here with us today. I was sitting down with him, and I said, hey, CJ, I think we're going to be moving to California. What do you think about this? Yeah, that sounds great. And I was like, well, we won't have our four-wheeler or UTV. We won't go fishing. We won't have all the land to hunt on. I mean, there's a lot that the camp offers on 800 acres. We won't have all of this. And he's like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. I was like, okay. So he walks away and he turns around. Dad, I don't think, he's 10 years old. Dad, I don't think, or I don't want to do that, but I think we need to go because it's what God wants. And just the day before that, I listened to a message by a man, and he had been saying how we need to listen to our children because sometimes God uses our children to direct our ways. And it was just like one thing after another like that where God was directing my wife and I. Let me just say, I saw a father and child look there. Sometimes God uses our children in wonderful ways. But God was directing my family to be a part of this work in California in a wonderful way. Well, we called Scott and Lynn and Dan and Cindy, who were already on board to come and making plans, and said, hey, we're coming to California. And Well, we had to slow down a little bit because the Lord had some other plans, and we ended up having to wait for a year to be able to come out to California. Well, when we did, we went down through Albuquerque. I went too quick. When we did, we went down through Albuquerque as we left Turkey Hill. This was 2019, and we loaded up everything in the Suburban with our white trailer. That's an older Suburban. Now we have a newer Suburban, same color, and we're about to head to the Midwest in another box trailer with stuff for furlough, so pray it doesn't get broken into, because that's what happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Some people tried to steal our whole car, and the ignition on that picture is like totally torn apart. The funny thing is about this is I don't travel a lot. Back then I didn't. Well, there was a nice stereo that someone had just installed for us, to be kind. I think it was like $800 stereo. It was super kind. And that was awesome. But underneath of that dash there was a lot of money because people had given us gifts to help us out. So there was like $4,000. Someone gave us a gold coin that they said, as soon as you need this for rent, sell it, and it'll be about $2,000. Well, that was sold the first month. Well, that was down there as well. And all this money was down there. And in the back of the car, we didn't unload everything. There was cameras and laptops. I don't know. I was exhausted. I was stressed. We were moving a whole life. We didn't unload anything. So the car pretty much looked like that with bikes on the top, locked up. The trailer was attached. Albuquerque, New Mexico, we found out, was the capital of carjacking. So they tried to steal our car. Well, ended up giving us like a 10-day vacation that the Lord wanted for us to have and we needed to have because we'd been at camp for a long time at this point and about 11 years and never had a family vacation. So the Lord provided for this in wonderful ways, and we were able to stay in the hotel pretty cheap. There's Albuquerque in the background. There were believers there that we met with, and they loaned us a car to use, and we were able to enjoy Albuquerque. We set up Stones of Remembrance right by our hotel there. Probably not there today, but we put them up as a sign to our family that God has provided and taken care of us. He's been faithful once again. So God was really good on that journey on out to California. And then we joined the team pretty quickly. Miraculously, the Lord provided a beautiful home for us. If we had been there any sooner than we had arrived, we would not have gotten that home. And so the delay of our time actually allowed us to be in the home that we are in now. And pretty miraculous story of how the Lord provided the home for us. And one thing that we have learned as a family, more and more as we've been there, is you pray and you talk to God when you have something on your heart. And this became very early on a scene in our family house where there was a need financially or something we were praying about, because for our kids, they had just left a lot of family. One of our kids cried themselves to sleep every night, and it was just very hard. So a lot of time was spent in prayer. One of these times, at least one, maybe more, we were sitting there praying by the front door of the house. We needed at least $1,000, and we said amen, and all of a sudden the mail slot goes creak, it's on the door. It creaks, makes noise, and a piece of letter comes through, and we open it up, and it was like $2,000. So miraculous ways that God has provided for us in wonderful ways, and he has been faithful every step of the way. And so we began to use the home that we were in. It became Freedom Bible Fellowship on the Sundays, and it became the team meeting place throughout the week, and the Lord gave us a home. Gave a home to a man who was not hospitable and to a wife who loves hospitality. And it was the hardest thing in the world for me, but the Lord changed my heart, and we love having people in our home now. And so the Lord's been able to use that home in wonderful ways. So we're very thankful that the Lord has brought us to Watsonville, California, to be a part of the work. And it's changed. We've been there now. My family has been there 7 years. It's 8 years total for the team, which is now consists of Scott and Lynn DeGroff, David and Betsy Reeve, Ethan and Rebecca Hanlon, and my family. Is that correct? Yes. And then we had the Caleb and Anna Trent with us, but they've moved to Phoenix, which was the part of the plan for them. So our heart all along has been what you see up here, to make Christ known in our community, equip people to know and faithfully serve him, and strengthen and encourage gospel works throughout North America. So we want to reach our community. It's 80% Hispanic. We really want that, and we're praying towards that. Actually, a really cool thing is just yesterday before we were saying goodbye to Megan Reeve, who is heading to Kazakhstan tomorrow. I was over at the building, which is a couple blocks from our home, and a young man who had been a part of the church for some time that had caused a few issues came up and said, hey, I really want to come back to church. And I was like, well, praise God. Here's what we need to do. And we worked through that, and he's actually back with them today. David called and said, hey, he's here today. So we want Christ to be known in our community, and God is doing that in wonderful ways. We also want to disciple those locally and the ones that God brings to us. So God's brought something like 20 disciples our way. I don't remember. I need to count. That have lived with us for a time. Most of them have lived in our home or Scott and Lynn's home, and they've been discipled for anywhere from 2 months to like 9 months or some longer, like Ethan Hanlon, who is now living with the team. And so there have been discipleship, and then we want to see new work started all throughout North America. And we're praying for 8 cities that you possibly have heard of already. But there's a couple things I just want to mention is, speaking of God's faithfulness, is he has been faithful. And one of the things we're believing God for is for him to work in our community. Ethan Hanlon, who is at our church, recently gave a message. It's a really good one. I think it's on our church YouTube website. It's God Loves Little Churches. And we're a small church. I think we could fill up a couple pews right here with our church size right now. And sometimes you look at it and you think, well, we don't have the numbers to show anything. But you know what? God has already worked. There's been a lot of people that we know have been saved in our community. And we praise God for that. Now, they're not a part of our church, but does it matter? They're a part of the church, and that's what matters. So praise God that he is working in the community. And we're trusting him for that. We're actively working towards that. We do a lot of outreaches. Some of you have stopped in or been a part of these in the past before. We like to do outreaches during holidays. Here's an Easter outreach, Easter egg hunt. David is there in the kind of hidden under the tent, giving a gospel message, probably in English and in Spanish. And we try to reach out to our community in a lot of different events and a lot of different ways. The Lord has used, these are some of the disciples, the forefront three there, Joseph and Syrian and Caitlin there, are doing a Bible study with individuals from the YMCA, which has been a really cool thing that took place, and we're praying that continues on. But the YMCA, about 3 years ago, I think it was, we did an park outreach, and we gave, the YMCA had all their kids come. It was like 80 kids, and we gave them Bibles. And those Bibles then we found out were thrown into the dumpster because the director didn't like the Bible, and then turned around and gave them LGBTQ literature and said, here, this is what you need to take home. And so since then, the director has changed. And now there's a Bible study that took place in the YMCA, and they've come to our building to see a Bible study as well. So God is working in really cool ways in the community. We had started doing some park outreaches and are praying towards that again, where we just kind of go on a Friday night to the park, which is right across from our home, and do games and activities with the kids, and then give a gospel message, which is translated into Spanish as well. And so that's been a real huge joy and delight. And in this picture, there's a young girl up here somewhere, right here. And her name is Anaya. And the really cool thing is just down the street from our home, there's a big white church that we prayed about that we wanted to own. And God said no and gave us something better. But then right beyond that is a hotel. And in that hotel, there's a family that we met in the park as a part of this outreach. We were just going around saying, hey, can we pray for you? We're at a church tonight praying. Is there anything we can pray? And we met this guy. He's like, we just took a lease on this inn, and we don't have a lot of people renting it. You could pray that people would start renting it. I was like, well, that's the inn that all the farm workers rent, isn't it? He's like, yes, but they're not doing that anymore. I was like, well, we'll pray for you. So that night we prayed, Thursday night we prayed for him and his family. That Saturday, he shows up at my house because I told him I love Indian food because I'd been in India for a couple months with a brother doing some discipleship, and I grew to love India, like true, authentic Indian food. And so I was like, I love your guys' food. And so he brought me some Indian food and said, here, my wife made this, and it was amazing. During that, I was like, why don't you come in and hang out and just eat with us, eat the food with us? He's like, I can't. I have to get back. We have a lot of people. I was like, well, you have a lot of people. You just told me you didn't have a lot of people. He said, well, the farm workers are coming back. And I was like, oh, and before I could say anything, he said something like, your prayers were answered, or God heard you. I don't remember exact words, but that idea is that what you guys did changed what happened in our inn. And so praise God for that. We've had some contact with them since then. We were able to go eat in their home a couple times, which was a real delight, and I've been able to just show Christ's love to that family. And so we're very thankful for all kinds of opportunities that the Lord's giving in our community. This is Josh is in the background, the taller kid. His wife Caitlin was shown earlier, but this is part of the Good News Club that David and Betsy they do head it up, and they get people to help out with it. And you can pray for that because it ended well last year. There were people saved, but it ended a little rough, and so there's a little uncertainty about what it's going to look like this year. So just be praying specifically for some good help in that ministry in the schools. Praise God that one of the Christian teachers has come back that was gone on, she was pregnant, and so she was on leave, and she is now back so they can use her classroom again. So we're very thankful for the work God is doing in our community. And then believing God for disciples, like I said, the Lord is bringing disciples to be a part of the work there that we can just let them be involved with us, and then we can teach them some of the things that God has been teaching us. And this couple is Josh and Caitlin Matt. They came about a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, and they came for 9 or 6 months at the time. It was part of the, maybe shorter than that, it was part of the Emmaus internship. They were finishing up their Emmaus studies, and they came for a while, and they ended up wanting to come back for another 9 months. Well, the cool thing is that God just sent them to France as missionaries through CMML and the one up in Emmaus. So bad with the names. But God has just sent these two young, wonderful, this couple to France to share the gospel there. And we really are praying for them because God used them in great ways to connect with people in Watsonville. Josh is actually the one the Lord used to get the Bible study and the study started in the YMCA. These are four of the guys that were there just with us recently from different places, two from St. Louis, one from Kansas City, and one from Pittsburgh. And just got to say that it was really cool to have these four guys come and see God work in each of their lives in really unique ways. One of those guys in that picture, like it was a life, like a 180 in his life. He came, he was very kind of almost depressed looking. By the time he left, like he was excited about serving God and like vocal about his love for God. And one of the things that we do that's very unique that we really are thankful for is we say, hey, Monday is your day to be alone with God. Do whatever you want that day. You have nothing planned. Just go be with God. It's funny. One of those guys actually brought his video game Xbox console, and we found him playing his video game. Like after an hour with God, he was playing on video games. And like, hey, what is going on? This is not time with God, is it? I don't know. Maybe you're connecting with someone through Call of Duty and praying with them. I don't know what's happening. But ended up talking with them and, hey, you know, kind of weighing, is Xbox better or is something better here? He actually prayed about these things. I showed him some stuff biblically. He actually sent that Xbox home and said, that's not it, and doesn't play really anymore, much on that anymore. And he's like, God is more important. And it was just really cool to see that in his life. So God is working in the disciples' lives that he brings. Got to enjoy San Francisco with these guys. And then when they graduate, we take them and they write their name on a strawberry that's on the wall. If you've been there, you've seen these strawberries. Well, we're going to have to do another little strawberry bush eventually because it's getting filled up pretty quickly. And then Freedom Bible Fellowship, FBF. This is our little church there. God's done some pretty cool things. Again, we're small in numbers, but God has worked in a lot of lives. And some of you might have met this couple on your left up here. Jeremiah and Aria, a wonderful couple that God has been working in their lives. The cool thing about this picture is Josh and Caitlin are heading for Christmas break to the east side of the United States. Jeremiah and Aria are heading from Texas back to California, and somehow they meet up at a Subway gas station stop in the middle of like that drive, and Jeremiah and Aria are like, man, we just really are longing for fellowship, and Josh and Caitlin are like, hey, let's break bread together. So in the middle of nowhere, God brings these two couples together and says, hey, just remember me together. So it's cool how God works. But things are changing. Our church, sometimes it feels large, and then other times it feels small, and that's what it feels like right now, a little bit small. Caleb and Anna Trent, you might have met them, just moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Please be praying for them. That's been the plan all along, is for their family to move and to be a part of a new work in Phoenix. And so they're there, and just about 2 weeks, I think, 3 weeks. Their kids just started school 2 weeks ago, I guess, or a week ago. And it's been a good transition, but not easy to leave things behind you love. So if you would remember to pray for the Trent family, that would be terrific. And then you guys might know this girl, Megan. This picture just really sums up who she is. It's fun to see Megan worship the Lord. But Megan then is going to Kazakhstan, you might know. And so we're very excited. She's actually leaving tomorrow. So heading out. And we're sad to see her go, but very thankful that the Lord is raising up people to go and share the gospel in other places. We had a little meeting. This was for Caleb the Trents and for Megan, just getting together, having an all-night prayer meeting. Didn't go quite all night, but went pretty late into the morning, just praying for them and the works that they would be doing. And then finally, Ethan and Rebecca. Actually, we just commended them as well. We're sending them away as well. You come to our church, we kick you out, it seems like. But they're actually going to be heading in January to Las Vegas to be a part of a work in Las Vegas. So very excited and thankful. If you don't know, Rebecca is Scott and Lynn's daughter, married to Ethan Hanlon. And then believing God for what's next. Well, we don't always know what's next, but we can trust God because he's been faithful in the past. So God did some really cool things in this past couple years, and one of those was the Outlet, which was a youth gathering for all the churches in Watsonville area. And a lot of youth would come together just to praise, worship the Lord, pray together, and encourage one another. And we're praying about what God would have for that in the future because it was a huge encouragement to the young people. It was something they really need. It was also an encouragement to the leaders. We had a couple of leaders' prayer meetings where I think it was something like the first one, 30 leaders from churches in Watsonville and around came together to our building just to pray for the youth. And that was awesome, and we were praying that God would bring that back to what it was in this coming year. And then one of the big prayers is for the high school. This is something we've been praying for a lot. I don't know if you know or have heard a lot about what's happened in Watsonville at times, but there have been shootings and stabbings and deaths, suicides in our high school. A lot of depression, a lot of drugs, there's gangs, and there's a lot of need there spiritually. We've gone and we've prayed around the high school at times. But this is a picture here. Josh is in here. Josh, who's in France now. He was able to get involved with some of the students through soccer that then brought him to be able to be involved with the football team. And he's actually at one of their football games right now with Caleb Trent's taking the picture. They were able to go and pray for the football team before the game, and they did this a couple times. And so God's put them into the high school. We're a part of FCA as well, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and that's about to start up again. And God has used that to do a Bible study that David actually was able to lead in the high school. And then one of the other things we're praying and believing God for that we're already seeing God do some great things is the works in the 8 cities and beyond. So we've already mentioned Las Vegas. There's people going there, Ethan and Rebecca. Phoenix, there's people going there. The Trents are there. And then there's some others that are moving there. And then Seattle and Portland. Scott and Lynn actually are in Seattle right now at a church up there. Or is it Portland? They're in one of those up there with believers of a new work up there right now. And so God is working in these cities. And this is, the guy wasn't able to go to this, but the guys were able to go and pray in Helena, Montana. And this year we're going to be praying in Boise, Idaho. And I'm praying through the 8 cities, and it's really cool how God is answering prayers and moving hearts to be a part of works in these different cities. And then we'll skip past this, just believing God for our building, which we have seen God be awesome in. But then believing God for our family, and this is just where I'll kind of end it, I guess, with the pictures, it was a big change for our family to go from Turkey Hill to where we're at. But it's been an amazing change, and we've seen God do great things. Actually, when we first moved to Watsonville, the first month, our house is in a pretty nice area, honestly. It's on a busy street, but the first month there, I was in my garage working, and I heard the recoil of what sounded like a pistol. And I run out to the front, and I see a guy running away, see him shoot into a car a block away from us and running away from the car. He missed the guy, but a bad shot, I guess. But trying to kill someone in a car. And I remember thinking, God, why is my family here? I am ready to pack up and leave today. Well, my neighbor, who was a former policeman, he came over and he's like, hey, man, everything's good. And, you know, they just came to check to see what was going on. And all of a sudden, the Lord used my neighbor, who's a believer, him and his wife, to encourage us, hey, where you're at, you can trust God with it. And we've seen God do some pretty great things in our family. We were able to enjoy a fun vacation that the Lord provided for us. Down to Legoland, in a wonderful way. But God has really worked in our kids' lives in some cool ways. CJ, our oldest, is not very outgoing, but all of a sudden, like something changed in him in this last year, and he's all of a sudden speaking up and breaking a bread, praying. He's standing, speaking at an outreach in Pittsburgh that just recently happened. And God is working in our kids' lives. And Lincoln here is with Josie on the couch reading her a book, and just cool. Karis is with Anaya playing games. And Moses, it's just cool to see God working in each of their lives in different ways. And I just want to encourage you as parents, whoever you are, if you have young ones, believe God for your kids. Raise them in the ways of God. Trust him with them. He is wonderful and caring for our kids. And God is faithful. Just wanted to share this finally as we end. For updates, if you want, you're welcome to scan this QR code. It goes to an app called Epistle, and you can sign up, and you can follow us. Scott and Lynn are on this as well. They have their own that you would scan. But a couple things to pray for. You can pray that Lord brings disciples. And specifically, as my family and I are about to go on furlough, you could pray that the Lord brings the right people to be disciples in his time. We're going to be gone until January, but that leaves our house empty for those months. And we've actually been asking the Lord to put people in it that could be a help to our team, encouragement to our team, and encouraged also. So we've actually, we're CMML missionaries, so we reached out to CMML and asked them, hey, do you have missionaries that need to stay in a home for a while or young people wanting to go to the mission field? They can use our home. Just be praying that the Lord would bring individuals that could be a part of the work there, be a blessing also if they could end up helping pay for their rent a little bit, if that's what the Lord had, as it's sitting there empty. But whatever the Lord has, praying for the Freedom Center, we would love to have that finished. That's where we're wanting to see people be able to stay, as in the upstairs. We would love disciples, like 20 disciples, to be able to come at a time and be with us in the Freedom Center. And then praying for our church for growth spiritually and for growth in numbers, as the Lord would have. We would love to see people saved in our community and discipled in our community. Some, we believe, are getting saved and not going to church anywhere. We would love to see them be a part of church with us. Again, be praying for our family as we head out on furlough on Wednesday. We would love not to have our car broken into or break down. That would be really cool, like it happened when we moved out here. It's actually kind of like the anniversary of that happening, 8-year anniversary, 7-year anniversary. And you can be praying for our furlough, and then just for our family during this furlough, that we would really grow close to the Lord and closer to one another. We've been really busy with a lot of stuff and kind of feel disconnected sometimes as a family. So you can be praying for us in that way. And then finally, this last slide is just a reminder of what we talked about in the beginning and what we've seen God do through this little report here, is that we must be people that stand in the presence of God. It doesn't matter who we are. If we want to be used of him and useful to him, we must be individuals that stand in his presence. And then trust God with every season of your life. No matter how hard it may feel right now, you can trust God and believe him. So don't stop believing God as the last one. He's been faithful. He always will be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for Fairhaven Bible Chapel, and we thank you that could be here today, and trusting, Lord, that those 3 points would be an encouragement to the believers today. Father, I also want to pray that whatever was shared as far as the story of our life and Freedom Bible Fellowship, Freedom Teams, pray, Lord, that somehow that report would encourage the believers here. They've been a part of it in a lot of ways, whether the big gift they gave or individuals just coming down to be a part of things, coming to give ideas, coming to share thoughts or to look at things. There's been a whole list of people that have come down and been a part of things. I know there's people that are just praying for us faithfully. And so, Lord, just want to pray that they would be encouraged today, this group of believers. Thank you for them. There's been many years of faithfulness here, of them being faithful, but more importantly, of you being faithful to them. Want to pray that this church will continue on to be a church that is known as people that love God, a church that is able to reach the lost in wonderful and unique and great opportunities. I pray that it would grow in number as well, Lord. I pray that it would grow in the love for you, their love for you, their knowledge for you, their faithfulness to you. I pray for holiness in the lives of believers. I pray for Christ-like living in their lives. But Father, I also want to pray just for simple faith, faith to believe in you, faith to trust you. Father, one of the thoughts I had this morning during breaking of bread is in Philippians, it says that it's the righteousness of God by faith that we have the righteousness of God. And I just thank you, Lord, that your whole word is filled with just us being a people of faith. So I pray for real faith in the believers here, believing you for the goodness, believing you for all the promises, believing you for the truth of your salvation and your relationship with them in their lives. So anyway, Lord, just thank you for them. Commit them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.